In a world with so many uncertain and confusing voices, isn't it wonderful to know that there is an objective truth outside of ourselves? That truth is found in the Word of God. That word, which Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is our foundation, and through it we learn the good news of Jesus Christ, the Gospel. This is Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. We invite you to join us today as we mine the riches of God's Word, searching as for hidden treasure, that we might understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Here's our pastor and teacher, Wes Bradenhoff.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Gospel Talk. I'm Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. Glad that you joined me this afternoon. Tomorrow is Good Friday, so all this week on Gospel Talk, we've been considering the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus, and we've been doing that with the help of Mark 15, verse 33. Now, when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And of course, during that period of darkness, Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, on Golgotha, or Calvary, as it's sometimes called. And over the last couple of days, we've been seeing that there was a message in that darkness, a message from God. God was communicating a message to his own son, that his son was forsaken, and his son was experiencing the wrath of God, the fury of God against sin and against sinners, taking that all on his shoulders. The darkness was reflective of that. Second of all, it also was a message to those who had put Christ on the cross. It was a message both of judgment and of salvation. The prophets often spoke of a time of darkness as being a time of judgment on the nations. And when the Passover took place, the exodus from Egypt, there was also darkness. Darkness on the Egyptians, but light for the Israelites. Judgment on the Egyptians, salvation for the Israelites. And this particular event here in Mark 15, 33 also takes place at the time of Passover. So those two elements of judgment and salvation. And they also have some bearing on this passage as we consider it for us today. The message that still is there in that darkness in Mark 15, 33 as we read that today. Here again, we have to think about those two aspects again of judgment and salvation. The Jews were responsible for rejecting what Christ said, but many of them were given a second chance when the apostles began their preaching ministry in the book of Acts. Peter preached that they should repent and believe in Christ, and some of them did. We praise God for that. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost alone. Just amazing. At the same time, sadly, many did not believe. The message of the darkness to them and to us hangs on what those who hear the preaching of Christ do with that message. The darkness of Good Friday was only covenant judgment for those who heard the preached word and rejected it and died in their unbelief. But for those who heard that apostolic preaching of the Christ and they repented and believed in him, for them, the darkness gave way to light. And light means life. And friends, that's something that's true for us today as well. The darkness of Good Friday continues to be a sign, a tool in God's hand to communicate to us. Now, paradoxically, it's the same message as God gave to the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. That happened in the dark of night. God's glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. God's glory appeared in a bright cloud, and they heard his voice. This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him. That's the message the darkness of Good Friday communicates to us. God is telling us that this is the Savior. This is the one in whom we have to believe. This is the one whom we have to believe in if we wish to be saved. Good Friday communicates to us. God is telling us that this is the Savior. If we refuse to listen to him, we will suffer God's judgment and wrath. We will be cast into eternal darkness and death. However, If by God's grace and by His Holy Spirit we listen to the preaching of the Lord Jesus, we're living in God's light already, and we will do so even more fully in the age to come. And so then there are two issues that are put before us here. First of all, we have to make sure that we are in a church where there is the preaching of Jesus Christ. I think too many churches today preach good advice rather than the good news. They preach what you should do rather than what Jesus has done. And so, friends, I would encourage you to be sure that you are in a church which is preaching Jesus Christ, which is preaching the gospel, which tells a church which tells you about Christ's perfect life of obedience for you, living a perfect life in your place, and then also suffering and dying in your place, taking the wrath of God against your sin on the cross. Be sure that you're in a church which preaches that message. And if you are in a church that preaches that message, then the next issue becomes, what do you do with that? What are you doing with the preaching of Christ? What are you doing with the preaching of God's word? Do you truly listen? Or do you simply appear to listen? Do you work with what you hear through the course of the week? Do you really grasp it and appropriate it? Or does it go in one ear and out the other? The darkness of Good Friday is the word of the Lord to all of us today. What are we doing with the preaching of Christ? Will it be for our judgment or for our salvation? But it also says something else. Things are sometimes not what they seem. God seemed to be absent on Golgotha. He had withdrawn his presence and comfort from Christ. It had to be this way. This was hell. This was the burning wrath of God against sin. But that doesn't mean that God was not active. He was still working through the darkness to bring light and salvation, to bring light and life, to bring salvation to his chosen people. Now think about the sufferings we experience in this life. They are different than those experienced by Jesus Christ. He was abandoned by God, forsaken by God. In a sense, you could say he was even attacked by God. We have his promise that we will never more be forsaken by him, by God. We might feel like we're abandoned by all. We might feel that we're even abandoned by God. We might doubt and we might wonder. But the truth is that even though it might not seem like God is there, he is. And you look at the darkness of your suffering. Maybe you're experiencing something really difficult right now in your life. And you wonder whether God is working, whether God is present. Well, he is. I assure you, he is. He is working all things for good for those who believe in the one who endured darkness on a cross on Golgotha. God is King and Lord. He is there and he is active for you. All because of what your Savior endured in his God-forsakenness on the cross. The darkness speaks on Golgotha. The darkness of Good Friday continues to speak today. It speaks God's voice to us. God says, this is your Savior. Believe in him. Believe that he endured this darkness for the forgiveness of all your sins. Believe in him and you will dwell with me forever in the light. Think of Revelation 22 verse 5, speaking about the new heavens and the new earth. It says there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Well, as we conclude today's program and our look at the sufferings of Jesus Christ this week and this week leading up to Good Friday, I also want to draw your attention to some resources about the suffering of Jesus Christ. It may be a little bit late for you to benefit from it this time. You can still go out and buy this material. You can go out and reflect on the suffering of Jesus Christ any time of the year. You don't have to do that just at a special time. We should be doing that all the time, focusing our eyes on Christ and what he's done for us. So let me draw your attention to a couple of resources that have to do with the cross of Christ. And one of those is a book called On Being a Theologian of the Cross, Reflections on Luther's Heidelberg Disputation, 1518. The author is Gerhard Ford. Gerhard Ford, Ford is spelled F-O-R-D-E. Now, sometimes people talk about various views of salvation. Salvation, you know, there are some people who say that God and man must work together for salvation. We call that semi-Pelagianism, or sometimes Arminianism. Well, in this book by Gerhard Ford, the author looks at something that Martin Luther drew to our attention, which is the distinction between a theology of glory versus a theology of the cross. A theology of glory is that idea of man and God working together for salvation, that man is going to climb his way up to God. Luther says, no, that's not the biblical teaching of salvation. The biblical teaching of salvation is what he calls a theology of the cross. A theology of the cross has to do with the cross of Jesus Christ, the suffering of Christ, that Christ has done everything. Here's a couple of quotes for you from the book. Grace says, believe it, and everything is already done. God has done everything for our salvation. This is a really wonderful book. It gives, you know, some pretty heavy theology, but it does so in a devotional format. You'll read it, and it will move you further on the journey of spiritual growth. I guarantee it. If you want to find a copy of this book, go to the Gospel Talk blog, gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com, and I will have a link to this book on there, and you can get the information that you need. Another book that you might find helpful dealing with the suffering of Christ is a book by Frederick S. Leahy called The Cross He Bore, Meditations on the Sufferings of Christ, on the Sufferings of the Redeemer. Frederick S. Leahy. Also a wonderful book, 13 chapters, 13 short chapters, an inspiring devotional, I would say. Leave you praising the Savior, standing in awe of the God who saves, being impressed with Him. And a final book I might mention to you is a book by John Piper, The Passion of Jesus Christ, 50 Reasons Why He Came to Die. Also a worthwhile book on the cross. It's 50 meditations, very short meditations on the sufferings of our Savior. And John Piper works closely with the Bible in this book, and that's one of the things I appreciate about that author, about John Piper, and what leads me to recommend it to you. That brings us to the close of our program today. Tomorrow on Gospel Talk, I'll be joined by Pastor Chris Gordon. I hope you'll join us then. Till then, may God continue to richly bless you in every way.
We're glad you joined us today on Gospel Talk with our host, Pastor Wes Breitenhoff. This program comes to you today through the generous support of the Willoughby Heights Canadian Reformed Church in Langley. The Willoughby Heights Canadian Reformed Church worships each Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2:30 p.m., and we always welcome visitors. You can find us in Langley at 7949 202 A Street. Again, that's 7949 202 A Street, just off 200th in Langley. If you'd like more information, or if you have any questions, you can also write to us at Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. The postal code V2Z1B3. That address again, Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C., V2Z1B3. You can also call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. Or email us at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. Thanks again for joining us today. We hope that our time together has been a blessing for you. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breitenhoff. And be sure to join Pastor Chris Gordon tomorrow morning for Abounding Grace. He'll be sharing more wonderful gospel truths at 8:30 tomorrow morning, right here on KARI AM 550. That's Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church.